This is the day of Pentecost. Not just a day of celebration, but a day to remember your Pentecost. I think that second dose of the Holy Ghost really set you up for the Word of God. The Lord has moved here today tremendously. But he's got something to impart within our spirits. It's very, very important. Very important. It is a wonderful thing how the Lord meets and supplies our needs. Now in return, we need to give something back. The challenge is coming. In fact, the challenge is here. Let's pick up our Bibles and let's stand. Hallelujah. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Because of the power of the Holy Ghost today, God should have everyone's attention. Amen? He has blessed us. He has met us. He has supported us. He has given us promises. He has given us hope. He has provided miracles. We serve a great God. Luke chapter 10. And I'm going to begin to read from verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempting him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That's a good question, isn't it? What should I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, "What is written in the law, and how readest thou?" Two questions. What is written, and how do you read it? And he answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and with and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." But he, willingly to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Question. By the grace of God today, I want to preach the power of two pence. The power of two pence. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we worship you. We thank you, God, for the divine presentation of your spirit, your blood, and your power in this place. We thank you for all you've done. We thank you for what you're yet to do, Lord. We call upon the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you glory today. We honor and magnify the name of the only living God today. For you are the Lord God of heaven and earth. You are the creator of all things. And we pray that you would magnify your blessings here today. And we pray for the anointing upon these lips of clay today. And in the end result, Lord God, we'll give you glory and we'll honor your name in the matchless and mighty name of our God. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand praise and let's be seated. Come on, give him a hand praise. He's worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Amen. You may be seated. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That's a good question. You think he was attempting to put the Lord on the spot? Did you know? Do you think that he knew who he was speaking to? He heard the words of Jesus. And he realized that Jesus was someone that was not from among them. He was different than all of the teachers that Israel had at that time. And he said unto him, "What is written in the law, and how readest thou?" Now, these are good questions. Because I'm going to ask a lot of questions today to you. The question to us today is, what is written? Do you really know what's written in the Word of God? What is written? And how do you read it? In other words, how do you interpret it? You better be careful how you interpret the Word of God. How do you interpret it? What does the Word of God minister unto you? Do we experience the same results of what is written? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. Am I correct? Do we bear the spirit of the author? That's the real key. Do we bear the spirit of the author? And I'm not relating to speaking in tongues, but I'm relating to the fruit of the spirit. See, I'm not relating to speaking in tongues. A lot of people speak in tongues. I'm related to the manifestation of the spirit of God, which is the fruit of the spirit. Receiving the Holy Ghost, the initial evidence is speaking with another tongue. But the most important part is what God ministers unto us. We receive the Holy Ghost as God gives the utterance. God gives the utterance. And so God is ministering to our spirit and to our soul as we speak in this heavenly language that we never learned. But that's the initial part. What do we do afterwards? What do we do afterwards? What does that manifestation inside of us do to us? What does it transform us into? Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. What does it do to us? What should it do to us? I know some people live strictly off the phenomena of the Holy Ghost. But you know, remember, the Spirit of God is a deep spirit. It's not shallow, it's a deep spirit. It reaches into the uttermost parts of a man's soul and a man's spirit. The object of God is to transform you and make you into his image and into his likeness. How many many times are we willing to allow God to reach inside of our image and recreate him within us? How many times are we willing to allow God to take that and do that? How many times from day to day, we need the presence of a mighty God? Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, that tribulation worketh patience. Go on, brother. And patience experience, and experience hope. Go further. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Praise God. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now I'm going to read to you out of the English version of the Bible. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Moreover than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance. The ability to see it through. The ability to see it through. Endurance. 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 God is working to develop the church. The worst thing that God cannot use an undeveloped church in a world that's going to hell. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our spirits through the Holy Spirit who has been given unto us. Endurance. How many times we pray for a quick fix? When God's trying to put a trial in our life to build us and make us to his image, that he can use us for his glory and for his name's sake. But we want a quick fix. We want a microwave oven result. Oh Lord, help me. Sometimes we receive those results, and sometimes it's not the will of God. And he answered in Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. And he answered and says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Is this Old or New Testament approach to God? Is it an Old or New Testament approach to God? We are to love God in the same manner, but we have a plus. We have the Holy Ghost. See, we are to love God in the same manner. The Old Testament, all they had was the movement of the flesh and the power of the law. But in the New Testament, God has poured out his Spirit upon all flesh, and he has placed his Spirit within you. Hallelujah. He placed it within us. Within us he's placed it. And because he placed it within us, he has given us an extra benefit, a down payment on heaven, if we fulfill his will. That's what we experienced today. What we experienced today wasn't in the flesh. That was the plus, the Holy Ghost, the fire that falls down from heaven, that wakes up our soul and our spirit. The human mind and the human body doesn't understand the phenomena that took place here today. But those of us who are filled with his spirit, we understand the phenomena of the power of his spirit and his greatness. Hallelujah. Whoa, hallelujah. Oh, we understand the power of his spirit. Yes, we do. And he said unto him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he desired to justify himself and said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Good question. He got all the other ones right, but he had a question mark for a brain about who his neighbor was. Remember, he was a Jew. A Jew didn't receive everybody as being a neighbor. So he asked Jesus, say, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? I wonder, can we ask that question today of who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? Every man that's a part of the human race is our neighbor according to what is written in the Word of God. All men are born from the same Adamic nature. Can we today, as children of God, afford to miss the call of God and really expect to save those that are lost in this twisted and lawless generation? Can you expect, my friends, my brothers and my sisters, to really reach a lost generation, a generation that is going to hell in a handbag, through your own means? Can you afford that? Can we afford to do that? What is our real motivation to fulfill God's call? What's your real motivation to fulfill God's call? Do we hear the echoes of God's call for the lost, and what price? Now listen to me. What price are we willing to pay for their salvation? Not for your salvation, but for their salvation. What price are you willing to pay? What price are you willing to pay? What price are you willing to pay? Not for my salvation, but for somebody else's salvation. You willing to pay the price? What price are you willing to pay? What price? What price? Whatever God puts a price tag on, are you willing to pay it? You willing to do it? Let's go a little further. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. A man was going down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, and leaving him half dead. Huh? These are the results of life For so many people in the world today. Lest we forget what was the state of our own conditions when the Lord in his grace sent someone our way. What was the state of your condition when God sent someone your way? I know I can tell you what mine was. I was in the drugs. That was the state of my condition when God sent someone my way. That's what my state was. Have you forgot? Sometimes we get saved and we forget where God has brought us from. Can you afford to forget? Because if you can afford to forget, you won't worry about your neighbor. You won't consider the needs of your neighbor. In fact, you'll be very critical of your needs of your neighbor. Or you'll deliver him the message and you tell him he need to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. But what good is that? What good is all of that if you're not really concerned about his needs? If you really can't feel the compassion of the love of God? What good is all that? What good is all of that? People are stranded and overlooked and thrown out to the curb of the world to die in their sins. People are bankrupt spiritually and totally lost without the presence of God in their lives. Our societies are so competitive that people are committing suicide on a daily basis from all ranks of the world society. What is the cry of humanity to do? What sources can this broken world depend upon? What sources can the broken world depend upon? The world should be able to depend upon the church. I want to be dependent upon because I want to be a child of God. The world should have the ability to depend upon the church. They should be able to say, I know a place that I can go and I can find refuge for my soul. Those people understand me because they were in the same condition like I was one time. They had the same needs and they were degenerates like I was at one time. And the Lord raised up and did something in their life. And they're different today. They're different. Today. Hallelujah. God is challenging the church today. Because there's a world out there that needs what we have in here. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by him on the other side. And so likewise also a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him and passed him by on the other side. Thank you, brother. Can this broken world, listen, can this broken world depend upon the voices of religion? This is the spiritual side of man, either with a God to worship or only to worship his own existence. Or even something else, like an animal or a stone. This is what religion is all about. Religion has left more people to die than the world. Do you realize that? That religion has left more people to die than the world has. Religion. Religion. Religion is a legal killer of humanity. In critical times in a person's life, religion will walk right on by as if they never seen you. You don't believe that? Let me tell you something. Listen to this preacher. There's some people in certain religions in certain places, and even among us, that won't reach out for certain people because they think they're too far gone. They're too far gone. Oh man, he's too far. He's an alcoholic. He's a drunk. I mean, my goodness, he has no, he just can't put himself together. He's laying out there on the street. He has no capabilities, no possibilities. There's no way God can save him. So what they do, they walk on by. Religion walks by. We walk past a person that's homeless on the street. You ever been around a homeless community? And you see all these homeless people that are out there. Some people are schizophrenic. Some are drunks. Some are all just difficult, difficultly messed up. How many times does religion walk by those neighborhoods? How many times? How many people out there passing out tracts and trying to tell somebody about the goodness and the love of God? Huh? Oh no, religion passes them by. Let me talk to her. She looks like she's in her full mind. Now and then, if I win her, she might pay her tithes. She got a job. Huh? Praise God. Is that the kingdom of God was all about? No, that's not what the kingdom of God I know about. That has nothing to do with the kingdom I'm a part of. Nothing to do with the kingdom that I'm a part of. Children of God. But Luke chapter 10 and 33. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Children of God, we should bear the spirit of the Samaritan. That's the spirit that we should bear. A genuine compassion for a lost and a dying world. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they did to get there. I don't care how self-inflicted it was. Do you hear me? I don't care how self-inflicted it was. I don't care how long they inflicted themselves with whatever they were doing. It doesn't matter to God, but it matters to religion. You know why it matters to religion? Because religion is powerless. Religion is powerless. Religion is powerless. Has no power. Has no strength. It has dogmas. It has doctrine. It has direction without depth. Direction without depth. See, because the power of God, you know how it is when you receive the Holy Ghost? That spirit doesn't reach down inside of you, and you be saying, my goodness, they didn't tell me about this when I was going to that particular church. Hallelujah. I feel the power of God's spirit. This is not religion, but this is an experience from God. Hallelujah. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't stop myself because the spirit and the power is so great. It's so wonderful. It's so heavenly. It's so divine. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God. Religion can't put a claim on that. As much as religion would like to claim it, it can't. Hallelujah. It can't. It can't. He went to him and bounded him up. Bounded up his wounds, pouring out oil and wine, and then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He provided the things that were needed to sustain the life of the wounded man. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to take our oil and our wine and make provisions for those who don't have the provisions? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to? And then he provided a vehicle to transport him to safety, which he took him to the inn. Would we provide that vehicle? That vehicle is not your car, but that vehicle is yourself. Not your car. It's you. You know, there's some people that I will never reach, but you will. Are you willing to be that vehicle to you know, when you put somebody in a vehicle and you try to transport them somewhere, sometimes it takes a little persuasion. Sometimes it takes a bit of patience. It takes a lot of prayer. We want to get them to a certain place. Sometimes it takes fasting. Oh, Lord. Crying, weeping. And are we willing to be the vehicle to help this person find their place into the end? And of course, the end is the church. The body of Christ. I'm not talking about this building either. I'm tired of dealing with that. I ain't talking about this building. There's a whole lot of folks going to heaven. You're going to be surprised. Then there's going to be a whole lot of folks that ain't going to make it. You're going to be surprised. And you're going to look around and say, oh, I thought he was here. No, he's not here. The church of the living God is the end. We need to take people to the end. Hallelujah. We need to take people to the end. I've come to a place and to an understanding that my position is to do a work for God, not for myself. God's called me to do a work for him, not for myself. I don't care about the recognition. I don't care about the politics. I don't care. I really do not care. I never did care. Oh, you know, all the only thing I care about is a soul. Give me a soul, at least I die. Give me a soul, at least I die. Give me a soul, at least I die. I want to be like Hannah. Give me a soul. Give me a soul, just one soul, one family. I don't care. Just give it to me, Lord. Just give me direction. Help me to win somebody out of the hands of the fire of hell. Help me, Lord. Soul. One soul. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. He paid the cost for his staying until the Samaritan returned. The power of 2 pence. Gave him 2 pence. Gave him 2 denarii. What was the 2 denarii? The first denarii was healing. Not physical healing. Because if you notice, he gave him oil and wine to take care of his wounds of his body. He provided for him. He gave him food and drink and the things that he needed. So it wasn't physical healing. But it was spiritual healing. That's what the Lord provided in 2 pence. Spiritual healing. Hallelujah. Spiritual healing works in a process in a person's life. Am I right? If anybody says they're healed, you're lying. You're still in the process of being healed. Amen? But God gave us a pence, and that pence was the power of healing. We can heal. You know, when I came into the church, the world had bruised me. I was broken. I was ashamed. They left me out there to die. I was worthless to them. But God took me and brought me in. Said, listen, son, I'm going to put some new clothes on your back. I'm going to put some food in your stomach. I'm going to put some shoes on your feet. Amen. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. And I'm going to lift you up and make you someone that the world will not believe. That the world will not believe. Hallelujah. How many people, when you go back home, says, I don't believe it. Larry, my goodness, this boy is a preacher. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Living for God. Praise God. An example of victory. Do you know in my neighborhood, all of the older women have made me out of the hero of all the guys I grew up with. And among me, some of the guys are doctors and lawyers and all types of things. We had a tremendous, we really had a tremendous group in my neighborhood, because in 1970 we determined that we were going to be the best that we could be, and many of them were. Many of them. I have one friend that's a doctor in the University of Georgia. He went there and studied, and lawyers and all types from different things. But of course, naturally, when I come home, they say, "You, what God has done in your life." Tell them, talk to these young boys. And they tell me, get out there and tell these young boys what they need to do. Amen. You're the hero of this generation in this neighborhood. You know who did that? The Lord. The Lord. The Lord. The second pence is eternal salvation. Eternal promise of God's presence in our lives, in a person's life. We need the presence of God. Salvation does not start when you're in heaven. Salvation starts when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you're baptized in Jesus' name, salvation begins. The Bible tells us that we are in the presence of a mighty and a powerful God. The Bible tells us that we sit in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Not going to, but we do. Hallelujah. In heavenly places. Amen. So we need these different things that the Lord has provided for us. Which of these three do we think and prove to be a neighbor to them? To the man who fell among robbers. He said, the one who showed him mercy. Religion didn't show him mercy, did he? Religion doesn't show mercy. Religion is critical. Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. You've enjoyed God's presence today. Am I right? And God has set you up to challenge you. God has set you up to challenge you. And so he says, go and do likewise. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Let's get up off our feet. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1 in closing. Now Peter and John went together, up together, into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour of the day. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. When the world and the world cries out to the church today, the world expects to receive something. It expects to receive something. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. He gave heed unto them, and expecting to receive something. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. That's all right, sister. I got plenty of copies. Silver and gold I have none. Anybody got any silver or gold? Brother Greg ain't got none. Brother Greg is trying to take care of his silver now. Because he ain't got no silver. I just tell him I ain't got no silver. Whatever silver I got, Justin got. Silver or gold, I don't have. So what is the world expecting from you since you don't have silver or gold? Of course the world will look to you for financial needs, no doubt. Because they assume that because we serve the Lord, we have an abundance of prosperity. But such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. And he took him up by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with him into the temple, and walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonders and amazement at that which had happened unto him. I want y'all to understand one thing. When Peter and John received this beggar, they gave him what they had. But they didn't realize what was going to take place after. They didn't realize what was going to take place after. Now, I'm not talking about him dancing. They didn't realize how many people were impacted by a man that sat at the gate called Beautiful and was healed by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Do you realize if we go forward and do the work that God has called us to do, that one seed that falls into the ground shall die, but it does not abide alone. From whatever you do for Christ, a great harvest of souls can be